A great writer by the name of Arthur W. Pink, he wrote, if you ever want to do some study, it's not quick reading, it's study reading. Arthur W. Pink, he wrote the Gleaning series. Probably his text on gleaning in Genesis is probably one of the most foremost books on the book of Genesis. In fact, I relied on Gleanings in Genesis a lot a year and a half ago when we started in the book of Genesis. And he's a great writer. Here's what he said. We cannot know his will, God's will. We cannot know his will if we are ignorant of his word. Look at that with me. We cannot know his will if we are ignorant of his word. That's true with anything. If we don't know what's written there, we're ignorant of what's there. I've been carrying a burden for this to even lead to this statement. In fact, this statement did not even land on my desk until about this Monday of this week. But I think it really sets me up for the next 2 weeks here. I believe I have a good word to encourage you with. About 6 weeks ago, I said something in the course of the worship service and the prayer time. And I said, when I woke up this morning, this sentence was in my heart. And at first off, it's so simple, you go, yeah, right, really, no fooling. But when I thought about it and the depth of it and spent time with it, by the way, that's a real key for you, by the way, spending time with the word. This girl spent 5 hours reading her, doing her studies yesterday morning, 5 hours yesterday. But you got to take the time to find out what's in it. And I remember that morning, and I said, you may remember that morning, and I said to you, I just want to encourage you with this that I felt to impart to you today. God's people need God's word. All right, no brainer, you're saying, but there's some real depth there, because there is a lot there that if we don't spend time with God's word, we will be ignorant of what God says today. The question is not, is God speaking? The question is, are we listening? That's the question. Are we listening? Have we stopped to listen? You know, it's those listening things. You know, some of y'all, your prayer is a monologue. And you just lock in, and it's just you. And when you get done, you go, God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Take care of the rest of you. I'm out of here. But it is those moments of give and take, the pull, the tension moments, where even there might be a heaviness, but there might be a joy, but a back and forth. And stop and listen to what the Lord would say. Over and over in the book of Revelation, after it makes some very strong statements for us to know, it stops and it makes this statement. It says, let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That tells me two things. We have ears. We have the capacity to listen, but we must stop to listen. It's an effort. It takes time there. The writer Mozart, the great composer, said, music is not in the notes, but it's in the silence in between. And those are movement parts. So a singer, a musician, we call them dynamics. If you're playing the piano, there'll be certain markings. There'll be little Italian phrases on the top of sheet music that'll tell you that if it's supposed to be a big strong sound, if it's supposed to be a soft type sound there. Vocals like that, many times you hear somebody sing, and if somebody just gets up and they're singing da 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 da, and it's a rote kind of thing, it's just dead. But when you hear these moments, and there's effort, there's air, by the way, there's energy that takes place, and you feel it. You hear somebody sing that, and you just stop. Every one of us stopped in front of the TV when little Whitney Houston was singing the national anthem in that Super Bowl so long ago, and we went, my God, I've never heard the national anthem before, have I? And there was the tension moments, the drama that's there, and sometimes it's not in the noise. Sometimes it's in the still, small voice that God speaks. And as it all works together, it's beautiful. It's all in the word. David, the man that we've been with for the last few months, said, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. I see people today, though, that are walking around. In the natural, they call them low information voters. Well, they got low information Christians walking around too. They have no clue of what the word of the Lord is saying. I ever seen those people? I don't pay attention to none of that stuff. Well, I try to say it, but I do sometimes because I want to know what's out there. I want to know how to be ready. I want to be alerted before it comes down my block. I want to know these things. I don't like surprises. I'll just tell you that right now. It makes me to know all the more when I see the world today. I need God's word. I need to have an answer for things we're walking through. I can't make it up in myself. It has to be based on God's word. So notice how timely and how topical this word is today. It was written by an Old Testament prophet. I don't have time to go into all of his background. Maybe next week I'll talk a little bit about him because we will continue this next week right here. His name was Hosea. And in the first two verses of chapter 4 of Hosea, he said this: "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." Do you know what Hosea said in that sentence? God's people need God's word. God's people need God's word. I know your faces. I might not know every name even, but I know all your faces, and I know you love God. You love God. You've asked him not just to come in. You know, you hadn't just prayed a prayer waiting for heaven's bus to pick you up, but you've had to live lives. You've walked through things in your love and in your service of the Lord. You're God's people. So here's what it says: "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel." That sounds like it's going to be fun. He said, "But wait up. The Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land." How'd they get to that land? God did it. God did it. God gave them everywhere. He said, "There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." Now, these were his people. He even says at the front, "You children of Israel." But yet the time, and they know the stories. The law has been handed down. The history has been handed down. They got there because God put them there. You're not here by accident today. Oh, you walked and figured you did your, but you're here because God put you here. God put you in this place today. He said, because by swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraint. He's talking about his people. They break all restraint. Restraint is a word that's not used anymore because there is no restraint. There is no restraint right now. When restraint is cast off, James tells us that every evil thing then will abound. That's what we read in his book. They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Is this topical? I think it is. Move down for the reason for all of these things. Verse 6. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." The question I wrote in my margin was this: so where does this knowledge come from? You ready? The word. The word. We don't treat the word like we used to. We've got 10 Bibles in our house. You've got that one with the dust on it on the table with grandma's name in it somewhere. We don't treat it anymore. Oh, I love, I have an iPad. I have a Bible on there. I got 10 Bibles on this phone. But there's something about, and I love it. There's nothing wrong with it at all. But there's also something about holding one in your hand. There's something about holding it in your hand. It's there. It's written. Something to hold on to. Something to hold on to. I like when Joel Osteen says, "This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can do what it says." I like that. It's my Bible. It's your Bible. It's your word. Guys, it's called your sword. Why is there no restraint? Because my people have been destroyed because they don't know what's written in the word. I can't take care of all those heathen people outside. I got to take care of this. They'll take care of themselves. He's saying, I'm talking to you guys. How important is this? Here's how it happened. And this happens, this is when we all get here, when we've gotten cold at times in our lives. Because you've rejected knowledge, I'm going to reject you from being the priest for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I'm going to forget your children. Now, you don't want God saying that about you. How many of you know if God forgets your children, you got trouble? The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. They were worse as it came, and I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity and shall be like people, like priests. Wow. Why don't we have better leaders? Because they're like the people. Strong, isn't it? So I will punish them for their ways. And yet, notice God never utterly destroys something. There's always a concept that he's got a redemption thread there, that red thread that goes through there. And people say, well, God did it. But there was always it's actually study one day on the concept of a remnant. The first thing you understood, the remnant, we talked about that with Noah's family. There was a remnant that were left over. He said, and he said, I'll punish them and I'll reward them for their deeds. They're going to eat. They're not going to have enough. Watch this. They'll commit harlotry, but not increase because they have ceased obeying me. Now that sounds like, but there's going to be a thread of redemption here if we run to the word. He's basically saying in that last statement, they stopped reading it and they didn't think it was important anymore. So I've been carrying this strong. I see people in the world walking around. Have you ever heard the old statement, ignorance is bliss? Nothing further from the truth. Nothing is further from the truth. Go to your medicine cabinet, long as it's a bottle, it'll be okay for you, no matter what it is. Nothing could be further. It seems like, though, you remember when he says they keep multiplying, they keep increasing, but they keep getting worse? Does that sound like the world today? It seems the more, notice this word phrase, it seems the more enlightened we become, the more ignorant we become. Because we do not understand where the real knowledge comes from. Somebody said, here we are. We've got a great world. Here's how it started. Man discovered fire. Man invented the wheel. Man built the pyramids. Man lands on the moon. God plays games on an internet. That's where it is today. The great discoveries. Lovingly, let me say this. Ignorance catches up with this. Whether it's in the natural, whether it's in the medical, whether it's in the emotional, whether it's in the spiritual, ignorance catches up with us. Don't worry about that car. If you don't, you're going to be on the side of the road one day. Don't worry about your house. You're going to have a problem one day. Don't worry about my body until I get to the emergency room. You'll find out because time passes. Webster said it so easy. Ignorance is called a lack of experience or knowledge. It is a state of being uninformed. Well, I want to be informed. And the Lord God said to them, my people are going through what they are going through today because they lack knowledge. Today, ignorance gets celebrated. Ignorance gets laughed at. The definitive gets ridiculed. The definitive gets demeaned when someone says, this is the way, walk in it right now. You heard the old story. The kid was having the generation gap discussion with his dad one day. And he was saying, he was just, being a typical kid. And the daddy said, you don't know the difference between ignorance and apathy. And the kid said, I don't know and I don't care, he said. And that's the way people are today. They don't know. They don't care. But sitting in your lap, sitting in your phone, sitting on your table, sitting on your bookshelf is the word that will illuminate, that will give you knowledge, that will give you strength, that will give you the word for the day in which you live, for the courage that you need just to get to Tuesday. It's there right now. Maybe the healing thing, it is all there in there, and it is laying there. In fact, this girl, I don't understand it. We've walked through 10 books in the word right now, and I guarantee you that every one of you could go to one of those 10 books, and in a few moments, you're familiar with the story and the thread there, because why we took the time to go down in there and we've received the knowledge from it, the strength. It's no longer a mystery as we look at it. We see it as a helper. We see it as a guide. We see it as a roadmap because we took time with it. Sadly and worse, though, many people are especially comfortable in this life, this blissful life of being ignorant. I read something early this morning, and the guy wrote, if we took as much time in the Word and worrying about the Word as we did getting the right socks in our tennis shoes, we'd know more. It's been told we spend more time mapping out our vacation than we do looking at the Word. Now, vacations are great. Whenever you get it, take it. I'm all for it. I need one. But it's okay. But we need to spend that time in the Word. I'm getting somewhere. Hang on. I'm setting this all up in order. People are, You see the interviews of people on the street right now. They ask them about eternity. They ask them about the days when life is over. They ask them about scriptures. They don't know any of those things. They don't even know who the first president was these days. And but you ask them any, they don't know. And it's a laugh along the way. And it grieves you when you see some people and some of the things that come out of their mouths. And you're not going to get anywhere by just beating them up. You got to say, hey, look at this. This is the way. Walk in it. It takes time. Let me give you a real key. Don't you think that the people around that were laughing and didn't give a rip about the report of rain, do you think their mind changed when the drop started falling and the door was locked on the ark? Ignorance can be expensive. Ignorance can be dangerous. In the natural and the spiritual realms, how important is knowledge? It seems our populace majors on not knowing anything or not paying attention, especially in the things of our lives and the things of God right now. What about just your natural reading? Are you reading things? You know, people don't, they say people aren't reading anymore. And the attention span is so, that I remember when I first understood that, when you look at the USA Today, it's a postage stamp now, but in the original USA Today, in the four sections that were there, there was only one story in the USA Today that you had to turn the page, and that was the headline story of the front page. The rest, every story is a synopsis, and if the attention span of Americans could not finish that, they certainly weren't going to read an in-depth article there. And we treat the gospel like McChurch, the cafeteria. We grab this, we grab that. We don't want to give us two of that right there. And we treat it like that instead of the word talks about the whole word of God, the whole gospel, the whole word of the Lord right now. I read this is really, this is crazy. Do you know that 88% of the wealthiest people in America read at least 30 minutes a day? Did you know that? The wealthiest people of America read 30 minutes a day, while 80% of Americans will not buy a book this year. We buy a couple a month in our house, and whether we get the hardback or sometimes I get both so I can have it wherever I want to go. And we bought five books yesterday. We bought five books yesterday, and it was about God's word. Mark Twain said it this way: the man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. My people are destroyed because they've not read my word. They don't know what's in my word. My people are destroyed. And where do you think the knowledge comes from? It comes from that statement that says, God's people must read God's word because God's people need God's word. Sadly, much of the American church today, the ignorance is willful. The American church walks down a merry road of neglecting and ignoring the word. Today, we don't even know what we believe. We cherry pick verses. We misapply them. We customize doctrines to fit our appetites, our conscience, and our comfort levels. And you should be comfortable. If you're walking in the word, it's okay. There's rest. But know what the word says. People today, you listen, well, I just think this, I just think that. I don't know, I would much rather be. Kenny and I were doing something the other night, we were talking about having, and we got down to the bottom of faith there. And the bottom line of the faith was this, and here's where we landed on the discussion. Somebody said, well, what if you're wrong? And Kenny said, well, if I'm wrong, I've lost nothing. and the pregnant pause came, but if you're wrong, you know. So let's not be ignorant of the word of the Lord. Let's read. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to give you a fresh look at the word. When you see it, don't pass it. Be thankful for it. Run to the word. There is life in the word of the Lord right now. That is so strong right now. They have a comfort-based belief system, like Goldilocks bouncing from bowl to bowl and bed to bed. We mix our taste, the mores of today. We mingle in a dose of kind, inclusive-sounding doctrine, thus creating a religious fraternity that is really stymied and stagnant and powerless. But the word is clear. If you read what happened to these people here, intentional blindness and neglect of the word of God, some people are arrogantly live their life that way. And arrogance and pride and ignorance is not a penalty-free zone. There's a cost. But the word is here to help. I told you that. The word is strong. The word is beckoning. The word is pulling. The word is inviting. The word is giving it to all of us. The word is strong. The word is loving. Remember verse 1, verse 2? He said there's no truth, mercy, or knowledge in the land. They swear, they lie, they kill, they steal, they commit adultery. They break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. How does that get there? Proverbs, the young man we're going to start studying in the next few weeks, wrote this word. He says, because where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. We must know the word. We're here. And when you lose the picture of who you are, when you lose the picture of the revelation of who we are in this drama, when we lose the picture that God loved us when we did not know him and loved him, and before we blinked, before we had eyelids, he knew us and he loved us. If we forget the perspective of what was done, if you'd really want to read some of the stories of the men who gave their lives to keep this word, whose blood runs through the pages of this book, who printed it, who in clandestine areas, in inventing presses and a copious copying so that we could have it. How can I be cavalier about this word? It is strong for me. Proverbs 29:18 said, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. I told you, it's all good, but happy is he who keeps the word, who keeps the law. That's not mechanics, that's love. That's not rules, that's love. That is not how far can I stay? It's how close can I jump in? How can I say I'm loving you more every day? The more I love you, I want to show you I'm loving you more every day. God's people need God's word. The word is the answer. The word's the foundation. The word's the remedy. Throughout all of history, by the way, God will always send someone, not only in the scriptures, but in natural history, when you read the stories of the church and how the gospel continued, even when what some people would call dark ages, that it continued, there was always a people. God, as the song says, God has always had a people. All right, and men have thought they could make foolish laws and to take it out, but God has always had a people. It is the church triumphant today. Happy is he who keeps that law. Throughout history, God always said, like Hosea, we see another man, one of his contemporaries. His name was Ezra. We read about a man named Ezra who brought the people back to the word of God. We're going to talk about him one day and do a whole story on him. But in church history, he was the one that called the people back, that made them stand together to read God's word, and the king endorsed it, and he was allowed to do it. But we find out that when people who are not like God, just like we're written in Hosea, that get away from the knowledge of God, even leadership, even the leadership falls away from the purpose of God, the kindness of God, the covenant of God, the love of God, and then they start trying to control it. And the leadership through church history would try to maintain control, and they would do a disservice, and they would fight to keep the people illiterate. Some of you belong to religious traditions that for many years you were not even allowed. You were told, don't read the Bible. My people are destroyed because they don't know what's in the word. John the 23rd, back in the 1960s, kind of opened the window and said it was okay to do that. And God used him. And that was the wind that began to blow in the foundations that went through a church. And people said, my goodness, I didn't know this was here. This was here. And that revolution started. And it went through a church. And it started through in Notre Dame. And it went through in Pittsburgh at Duquesne and other places like that. And I stood in those places and watched those people. Those are my brothers and sisters. But 20 years before, they did not even know that was written in the word. It was liturgical. It was what many people called an obligation. I don't want to be in a relationship with anybody that it's an obligation to them to be with me. It's not, is it?
No.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Hockey season,
she said. But the leaders of that day, and by the way, put your antennas up, pay attention, put 2022 glasses on. When any leadership wants to stifle people from reading the word of God, look what's happening in other countries today. Speaking the word of God, and you will only say what we allow you to say. When you see those things happening, history is repeating itself. And you got two things going on. You got people that are going to grow and they're going to not know any different. You know, babies that were born 3 years ago know nothing different than the life we're living now. Children that are 5 years old really don't know anything different than what we're living right now. Your stories sound like dinosaurs, don't they? Just 5 and 10 years ago right now. You know, Tyler only had 3 TV channels and his eyes go out of focus. And we were grateful. You got to add that to it each time. You understand what I'm saying, though? And whenever you see in history that people are stopping the word of God and even the natural history revision that's going on, and with the passage of time, they're not worried about you. They're already appealing to the 20 years down the road. They're appealing to those who come, and it changes the thinking. So in history, look back and look at the times, the places where when the word was stopped and it was intentional to keep the people illiterate and dumb, problems came. They should have learned from Ezra, the reformers that came later, such as Martin Luther, Huss, Wycliffe. Many of these people kicked back at the fact that said, don't read the word, stay away from the word. And many of them gave their lives. You ought to read the stories of some of these men. I remember in England standing over the graves in the temple, in the great cathedrals of some of the great reformers that they killed because they told people, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. By the way, Hosea 4:6, generally people quote it by saying that you gotta learn the word. That's not a problem here. It's not memory verses. It's not learning the facts, okay? In fact, the people of God could recite the history. They could recite the gospel. They knew all about it. They knew all of it. They knew all about it. They knew the history. They knew the background. They knew the language. They remembered all the stories they had been told, but it got to the point where it was not important and it took a back seat. And then as they move further from, the word didn't move, they move from the word. And all of a sudden their thinking is a little bit different. That's not the problem. In fact, they did not lack natural knowledge. The knowledge they lacked was more profound than simply head knowledge. You got it? It wasn't just, you got to learn the memory verse. It was in their head. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute right now. Why is this important to God? Because he knows we're destroyed. Today, first part, you got to bring the knowledge of the word first off in your head. You got to grab it first. You have to grab it first. That's what you do when you're teaching a kid. That's what we're doing with a new Christian. Get it in their head first. Now, when I see that, I think of the fact, the awareness that God created us. That God created in the heavens and the earth. I'm working on an idea right now. I'm not ready to do it yet. But if you cannot believe the first 3 chapters of Genesis, you can't believe anything else in the Bible. Think about it. We'll come back to that later. That's just, here's Scarecrow, something you can play with right now. He created us. He's my creator. He's worthy of all honor. We owe him everything. We're just one breath away from not even being here. How can we get this in our heads? But notice it is not just the facts. See, God requires us to do the mechanical things, being faithful. That's a work that is decided in our head, we decide to do. We've decided to follow him, to follow his covenant, to follow his word. In fact, commitment to a relationship is really the concept of faithfulness. It's the truth of faithfulness. And the key to these people, they did not work on their faithfulness. In fact, if you look at some of the deep writings, when you see the statement that says lack of knowledge, you could actually take it and go a little bit deeper in some of the wording there, and you could actually say, my people are destroyed for the lack of loyalty to our covenant relationship. That's the full depth of it right there. And when we say, well, I forgot, that's like the little kid. That we all of us said it. All your kids said, I forgot. No, we didn't forget. We just got caught. The neglect of obedience is the real lack of knowledge. Number one, it's there. We've made these head things in our head, but have we made it a part of our lives right now? There's a love word, a Hebrew word, that is used in conjunction with some of these writings today. The word hesed. The word hesed, the concept of that means the right conduct toward man or towards God. It is a loyalty word. It is what God requires. It translates into love, loving kindness, and loyalty. There's a connection of our love. In fact, the better statement would be, for him, my people need to have a loyal love for my word. A loyal love for me. That's what I'm working at right now. I'm not giving this to you. I'm giving me an assignment to reach for right now. I'm seeking the word, and I understand when we're looking for a word about honor and loyalty and faithfulness to God, things that are close to his heart, that's the word right there. Love loyalty to him right now. The same writer in chapter 10 said it this way. This is so good. It is an expectation of a job. So sow for yourselves righteousness. Who does that? You. Reap in mercy then. Cause and effect. Break up your fallow ground. Now, that takes work. Have any of you been working in your little yard there and you got some of that hard patch right there and you had to break those things up and you did it and you were trying and you're sweating and your hands are hurting there? What does that take? It takes effort and it takes commitment. It takes loyalty to the job. I'm going to get this done because I'm believing something is going to happen. And he says it here. He said, for it's time to seek the Lord. That's more work. He's loading us down, isn't he? More work. So when can we stop? I'll tell you when you can stop. Till he comes and he reigns. I love the picture language of the ground and then the rain and the reaping. That is really picture language for us to understand there. Till he comes and reigns righteousness. And one translation said it this way. Until he comes and then we will reap the fruit of his unfailing love. When we're showing a loyalty love, that returns to us. Here's where the problem is for me. We can't be led by our feelings. I have trouble with that. We can't be led by our moods. We've got to be led just like the map tells us. You're going to go here. I don't want to go that way. If you want to get there, you're going to take this route. Stephen Furtick said it this way. Faithfulness is not a feeling. What are we talking about, Ryan? We're talking about not neglecting the word of the Lord. He said faithfulness is not a feeling. It is a choice you can make, even in the midst of great frustration. If he tells us we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, can I flip that around and be on strong scriptural backing by saying our lives will be blessed when we walk in these words, when these things come alive? Can I be on strong ground instead of leaving it right there, destroyed for lack of... Our life can be built up. Our life can be strong. Our life can be blessed when we build on the word. You may say, this is too simplistic for me. I said it to myself, and then I heard that little voice, so why haven't you done it? First off, to be faithful, you got to get it in your head. Now, the most important second part of it, we have to get it in our hearts. You see, they knew in their heads who he was, but they missed him with their hearts. They understood the history. They understood the mechanics. Actually, God used the word rejected. They ignored him. Hosea, when he's chiding the people through the writing, there's one little cool line there. When they think that they've done so many great things, and by the way, our little bitty sacrifices mean nothing if our heart is far from God, if it's just mechanical in the head. Hosea just got in their face. In chapter 8, verse 6, he said, their calf, a craftsman made that. It's not God. It's a show. Basically, God's saying, I'm rejecting that. That's what he told the children of Israel. And he's telling the story that they remember. I rejected the calf, and now I'm angry. Children of Israel constantly exchanged God's glory for things and idols. They knew God in their heads and who he was, but it was where their hearts, and they acted like a kid every time God came. And they said, I forgot. Not really. So the question is, how did they lose this from their hearts? We saw it over and over when we went through the five books of Moses. How many times did we read they cried out to God and God heard them and God delivered them? He brought them out of Egypt. He split water in front of them. Water came out of a rock. It got hot, so it turned into a cloud by the day. It got chilly at night on the desert. It turned into fire at night. God, we're hungry. Food fell out of the sky. God, we're tired of this. Okay, I'll give you some birds to eat on a little bit. They dropped out of the sky. God brought them to those places. But every time it started to pinch a little bit, they'd say it was better back there. That is an understanding in the head, but not a real love, loyalty thing that happened in the heart. How does that happen? That's time over and over in what he's written for us today. That's pretty strong. As carnal humans, we're the same way. We often do what we really know is not a better thing to do. We do things even that are spiritually and physically destructive, but yet we still do them. Since the 1960s, since wonderful Dr. Ochsner discovered the correlation between cancer and smoking. We know that. We know that it kills, but 40 million people still do it every day. That is an ignoring of what we already know. In other words, it's not, I understand the head thing, but it's not the heart thing enough to get movement, to get action, to get repetition, and it's work, it's breaking up hard things to do, but we know that on the other side of it, we will be saved, we will be strengthened, we will be healthy. Likewise, when we ignore God, even when we know what God has said, even when people know that it's sin when we step in it, and we know separation from God is the outcome, if he would come today. And we must be ready at all times. Forget this thing. Do you think he's going to come in 10 years? Don't worry about that. Just make sure you're ready today. Don't worry about some end time thing right now. Just y'all be ready. Because if the bus came today for you, you're leaving today. Don't give me some other thing. The bottom line is the love. Be ready. Be in the knowledge and the walking of God. I don't want to be separated from God. So I wrote it this way. When natural people, it starts pinching, like the children of Israel, we run to make some quick, powerless Christian appeasement. Like the kid at the end of this, he's fooled around for the entire semester. He knows the grades are not good, and the week before the final report card comes out, he goes to the desk and he asks Miss Mary Alice Kane, he said, "What can I do for extra credit?" Right, have you heard that? I've done. How many of you did? That was a stand. I did that. Sure, I did that. And God says, "What do you mean extra credit? You didn't do the beginning assignment right there. Don't tell me extra credit right now. Can you just roll it over from the point nine up? Can you roll it up to that next one? Can you do that?" And they laugh. But yet we have some Christian appeasement if we're going to give him something or do something. Destruction comes from the quote, the lack of applied knowledge. That's what Hosea was writing about. In their heads they know it, but where were their hearts? Their hearts were in ritual and in religion and not in revelation. Our hearts must be in revelation, not in ritual, not in religion. This is why Jesus said, and I wrote this yesterday, and I quoted it a minute ago, why with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, that is not religious mechanics. So I told you Hosea was laying it out for him, but there's always a positive word. Can I give you a positive word? Can I give you a good word to encourage you today? Hosea said this out loud so they could hear it, so they could emulate it. It's the word of the Lord, Hosea 6:6. He said, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, the acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Later on, you're going to actually see a point in time where when a temple was opened, the word said, "Don't not just the sacrifice, but let the lifting of my hands, my heart, who I am on the end, let that be as an evening sacrifice and let that ascend." And why do you lift your hands? That is an outward thing of what we're trying to communicate in our own feeble, finite language. He said, "I'd rather have the acknowledgement of God, the worship of God, than your little offerings." Hey, back up, guys. Who was with us in 1 Samuel? Who was with us in 1 Samuel where God told somebody, "You go utterly destroy that group." And all of a sudden, the old priest came up and showed up and said, "What's going on here? What's this sheep I'm hearing bleeding in the background?" Well, we saved the very best for the Lord. Again, an appeasement. Trying to get extra credit work when we haven't done the foundation, and it is a head thing and not a heart thing in understanding those things. And you remember what the word of the Lord came as he looked at Agag, and he made these statements. He said, "For obedience is better than sacrifice." What's he looking for as you read Hosea today? What's he looking for the next week as we come together? And I tell you over and over these special words. When we are mindful, when we are faithful, when we're loyal to God, who knew us, who loved us before time began, this sort of revelation can change your life. Not just once, but a daily reminder to be faithful to God, loyal to his word, to know that he loved us before we loved him. The least we can do is to get it in our heart, and how much can we do to lean his way? This sort of knowledge saves our lives. So yeah, get it in your head, but more important, get it in your heart today. A loyal love for God's word. Can you run with this today? Because the simple word is this: God's people need God's word. We can't survive without it. I've got a whole lot more here, but I'm going to share it with you next week. I want you to stand. If you have a word, and you brought your Bible, or if you have your phone or your iPad or whatever, I want you to take it right now. And I just want you to hold it close. The word is in there. It's okay. The word's there. That's the word. That's the word. Hold it close. Yeah, if you want to find the word, find your Gateway Bible or your Bible Hub or the different things that you use there. Look at those and hold it right there. You know what that is? Life. You know what it is? Healing. You know what it is? Peace. You know what it is? Rest. Young men, you know what it is? Instruction. Other people, boundaries. Proper roads. It's joy. It's warning. It's laughter. It's blessing. It's warning. It's heaven. It's warning. But it's all there. Why? Because he loved us. And he wants us to walk into this today. Please, look at it different starting now. Don't let it be said about us. Don't let Hosea come and lay it at our feet. One day we'll see Hosea. We'll see Hosea. We'll thank him for keeping us between the lines for this Sunday. We'll keep us tomorrow. The word will keep you. And you know what else? He said that when all this thing blows up, you will still have that word. That's the kill shot. Right hands. May the Lord bless you today. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord grant you peace in your coming and going. Some of you stand here, your hands are up. You're smiling, but boy, there's a great need looming over your shoulder. There's a concern. There's a fear. There's a harassment. There's a sickness. There's a report. There's a disappointment. Father, I ask right now that as we are faithful to the word, that I'm able to quote another prophet that says, you came to take the things that were crooked and make them straight. The things that are rough, you can make smooth. Father, let there be answers to prayer this week. I speak strength, illumination. And Father, in the midst of a crazy world when people's heads are down and they're discouraged, let us be people of joy. Not inactive, not passive, but people of joy because we know that we serve a risen Savior. And his word is the thing that lights our way. Bless you in Jesus' name.